I think the biggest lesson I've learned in life is the who is way more important than the what. So who you give your money to, if you find good, decent people with similar values to you, that they are willing to educate you, they're willing to answer your questions, they're willing to really just provide more than an investment vehicle. And they actually want to have, I'm going to call it a relationship with you.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I'm your host, as always, Yona Weiss. Grateful to be here today with another amazing guest. We have Trevor Thompson, all the way from the sunny state of Texas. How you doing?
I am doing awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited that you joined me. You're big time. I don't know how we can book you on podcasts, you know? Trevor is very humble, but he has an incredible story. I mean, you even have like a YouTube video that's like, you know, the strangest. Most interesting man, right? Because you've done a lot of things, and I want to give away your whole life story here. But, you know, getting into real estate after having several careers and also just doing crazy stuff like working at the Guinness Book of World Records, you know, museum, just some cool stuff. So I'd love for you to kind of give a little background on your story, how you got into real estate, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Niagara Falls, Canada. And I started at age 13 working for Ripley's, believe it or not, worked there all through high school. Then I did 18 years with Guinness World of Records, which also had me operating one in the Empire State Building in New York, opening a franchise in Los Angeles, even had lunch with Michael Jackson when we gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, which is pretty cool. Not too many people can say that. And then I wanted to open my own Guinness in Orlando, Florida. Even though Canada is a great place, I wanted to move to America, the land of opportunity. That deal fell through. So strangely enough, I opened a year-round haunted house. I did that for 3 years. And then I got recruited by iFly Indoor Skydiving. And I opened 46 of 80 locations. Unfortunately, I didn't get to open the one in Tel Aviv. I would have loved to. Been there, but all traveled all over the world. And I was always interested in real estate, but to be honest, I was terrified of toilets, tenants, and trash. And then I used the excuse, no time, no money. And interestingly enough, at our first team meeting with iFly, the owner gave everybody a copy of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I read it and I went, wow. And I put it back on the shelf and kept going around the Monopoly board, right? I knew better. And then iFly did get bought out by a private equity company. And so the no money excuse went away. And so I started thinking, okay, I really want to do real estate. So let me figure this out. So I had three different weekends. I went to seminars. And the third one, I learned about multifamily syndication. And it was like, where have you been my whole life? I understand this business model. We've even done the business model. We bought back franchise from what I call mom and pop operators, put in better systems, some cap, the exact same thing. We improved EBITDA and sold it for a value of in the apartment world. We increase NOI and sell it for them. And I just went, where have you been my whole life? And I instantly invested in two deals within the first month of learning. Since then, I've invested in 20 deals. Eight of those had gone full cycle. And then I got let go with COVID because iFly went from development to survival. Right. And I said, okay, I love this real estate. I'm going to do it full time. And now I'm a sponsor on my 11th syndication. So it's been a pretty busy 5.5 years.
It has been. And I mean, now you're with a massive capital and you guys are doing some incredible things, taking down deals in Central Texas, among other places. And I want to kind of just focus on one thing that you said about the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You got it, you read it, you were inspired, and then put it back on the shelf. And I think this is a really important point. I was literally just thinking about this point yesterday, that a lot of people confuse inspiration for growth. and we can be very inspired, you know, and like, wow. But if you don't actually do anything with it and make any real change, then the inspiration itself is almost worthless. I mean, it's actually counterintuitive because it gives you this kind of false sense of accomplishment when in fact, making those steps and taking action is really where it's at. And so, I mean, obviously, not everyone's in the space or the headspace to do that. And that's why I highly encourage people to reread books and reread things, because you're going to see it in a different light. And hopefully, if you do, if you are a growing person, you're going to change and you're going to grow and you'll see things differently than you had seen them a year or two or five or 10 or 20 or 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely true. And it's, I mean, I absorbed the book. I was blown away actually by the whole concept, you know, total paradigm shift.
Right.
But without the action, it wasn't life changing. Just wasn't life changing. But it bugged me for like 15 years in the back of my head. I knew I had to do something, but I didn't take the right action.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, the time and the money excuse, so to speak, is something that I think everyone can relate to at a certain point. Because, you know, one or the other, we have excuses or we have reasons that are keeping us, holding us back from doing what may actually be the ticket to a better life. And actually, I don't want to be totally hijacking this interview. Well, I am the host, so I can do what I want. But but I heard another quote last week and I shared it with my wife and it was just mind-blowing. So I want to share it here and just have it for the record on recording. Maybe even my editor or my video guy can even take a clip out of this point, because I heard someone say a quote and they didn't say who it was from, but it said, the magic that you're looking for is in the hard work that you're avoiding.
Well, that's powerful.
Very powerful, right? Now, I don't like the term magic, you know, so to speak, but the point is, you know, what you're really you're looking for this, something that's going to change your life. You're looking for something that's really going to make a difference in your life, the lives of others. Guess what? It's right under your nose most of the time. And we're avoiding so many things that are uncomfortable, oftentimes because they're just hard work. And whether you like it or not, a lot of people avoid hard work. Now, you're not one to avoid hard work, Trevor. I know you, and I know you've done a lot. You've accomplished a lot. I mean, opening up 46 locations of iFly is pretty, that's a lot of work to do like that. Like
1 year, my record was 256 days on the road away from home. It was a pretty incredible year. I opened 13 locations that year. And some of those trips were just day trips from Austin to Phoenix or other locations that I could come and go in a day because I got tired of hotel rooms.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Now, one thing that I like about you is you've started out in your investing journey on the passive side, on the limited partner side. And it's something that you even continue to this day, even while you are an operator. You're also investing passively. And we talked about this actually on stage last year, but we talked about some of the things that limited partners, that passive investors need to look out for when looking at potential investments. I'd love for you to share some of your experience or some of the pitfalls that can be avoided, because I know a lot of our listeners are themselves passive investors in real estate or looking to invest passively and don't necessarily know what to look out for.
Yeah. So I think the biggest lesson I've learned in life is the who is way more important than the what. So who you give your money to, if you find good, decent people with similar values to you, that they are willing to educate you, they're willing to answer your questions, they're willing to really just provide more than an investment vehicle. And they actually want to have, I'm going to call it a relationship with you. People that I've invested in now are like my best friends, and even good, bad, or ugly. Sometimes the deals have been a little rocky, but they're still, the values are the same. So that's the most important thing, is the who. The second most, and of course, we all want to look good, right? So we all pretend we're the who or whatever, and all boast positive. You know, somebody was joking the other day, there's a friend of ours that's in foreclosure, and he's promoting his new deal. Kind of a tough place to be right now, if that's happening to you. So again, and again, real estate, there are ups and downs, so you have to do that. So, and then looking for an investment that fits what you want to do. Okay, so it's really a balance of risk. Mm-hmm. So part of the reason why I have so many investments is I'm balancing out my risk. So risk is several factors. Locations can be risks, right? So I've got a lot in Texas, but I don't want to only be in Texas in case something happens to Texas. So I have investments in Arizona, in Colorado, in North Carolina, Georgia. So I have investments in several. And then I have investments in several asset classes. Again, I have some new build storage. I have a medical center. I have two retail investments. I have my land development and multifamily. I have everything from deep value add to new build A plus. And so they're all different. Right. They have different timelines and different risk factors. And I like to tell people, think of a baseball game. If your team only tried to hit a home run every time they went to bat, they are not going to win the game. Winning the game is a couple of singles, a couple of doubles. And then you take the shot like, okay, my best guy's coming up the bat. This field looks perfect. And you get the home run. And so you want to balance those things out. And I think the other thing that's true that you really need to look, nobody says we just got the wildest, crazy underwriting. Everybody says it's conservative. Right. Everybody says it's realistic. Just look for some basic realistics, right? Again, when somebody's promising, I'm going to triple your money in 3 years, be skeptical. If I'm going to do this or do that, be skeptical. You know, and again, look for deals. I like a lot of deals that have a preferred payment. So investors get paid first.
Right.
Then there's a split. And I don't even mind. In fact, I prefer a waterfall at the end. And that's where if the deal is very good, the sponsors can do better. Because again, I'm paid first. It's fair in the middle. And if they hit that grand slam, I'm okay if they win a little bit better because I'm going to win a little bit better. And so looking at those things where everybody's needs are aligned, everybody's put in the proper order of risk reward.
Right.
I think that's super important. But I know we talk about know, like, and trust, but get it more than superficial know, like, and trust. You know, I actually try to get a relationship with people. And even then, you balance that out with what you want to do. So, for example, there's a mutual friend of ours. She had several real estate deals, but they were all multifamily. And I was looking for something different. I wanted to invest with her. I wanted to invest in the North Carolina market.
Right.
And I wanted storage. And her third one she sent to me was new build storage in Charlotte, North Carolina with a team I knew well. And I was like, boom, I just listened to the webinar, took a quick peek and I'm in because I already knew I could trust those guys.
Right. It's huge. And that is for me and has always been the most important factor, the who, as you mentioned, but the diversification is a big thing as well. Besides for that, I mean, I assume you had some, from being in, you know, multiple careers, you had some 401ks or some retirement accounts and things like that. Do you have any other investment vehicles outside of real estate?
So I did, and I got rid of it all, and I'm all in now. So,
why? I'm curious.
Yeah. So I could never understand it. I had money in the stock market. I just could never understand it. It felt like things were happening to me versus me making decisions right or wrong. You know, it would go up, it would go down, it would go here, it would go there. And so I decided to pick my diversification all in some form of real estate or another. And it doesn't mean I won't go back and do something different again. But I decided kind of, especially since I'm telling everybody how great it is, I think I need to be all in on it as well. And oddly enough, all of our companies were actually very new startups. So I had very little in retirement funds. I didn't really even start getting it to the last 5 years of my employment. So it wasn't a big thing for me, even though it's all invested in real estate. But again, it's invested very differently. So for example, the medical center, it's only a 10 craft, but it's a double guaranteed triple net lease. Okay.
Right.
It's kind of paying me every quarter, no matter what. And that's what I wanted for my retirement money. I didn't want to risk it. And there was, for that particular investment, there was no depreciation. So again, a good place to use your retirement vehicle for it. And there's no big gain at the end because it's purely a 10 prep and then you get your money back. There is no upside of it, which again, everybody says, why would you do that? And again, I'm okay with a couple of singles. I'm okay.
Well, it's not just the singles. It's knowing what you need for, you know, and you have that kind of secured cash flow, that secured, you know, check every month, you know, and for some people, and especially people who are, you know, getting to retirement age, I'm not saying that you are, because obviously you're still working. You're still doing all.
I'm 65 this year. I'm officially senior citizen, I guess.
Congratulations. Pull out your card at, you know, the buffet. And but people with, you know, at that point, they're looking for that monthly cash flow. They're looking for, you know, especially if you, but I mean, obviously someone who has diverse and multiple streams of income, you can risk that. You can do things like that.
Yeah. And let's back up a little bit on that story too, because I like to tell this story for people starting earlier. So in big picture terms, assuming there's no tax complications and every deal's fair, you should double your money every 5 years. So think of this. Invest 100 turns to 2. Invested turns to 4. Invested and turns to 8. Invested and turns to 1.6 million. Invested, it turns to 3.2 million in 25 years from one original investment. So this concept of living off of your money, while good, you are missing the biggest multiplier of your life, which is compounding your investments.
Right.
And everybody needs to learn that. I'm one of the few people that are part of a mentoring program that tells people stay in your W-2 job until it's just insane. Because if you think of that single $100,000 investment in 25 years being 3.2 million, just do that 4 or 5 times in your lifetime and start when you're younger than I started.
Yeah.
That's life-changing. Even that one investment. I mean, if someone had 25 years later at $3.2 million, that is staggeringly life-changing compared to I'm going to live off 100 and reinvest 100. Because in 25 years, you still only have the 100.
That's a huge, huge point. And I think, you know, more people need to learn that. But that's, you know, I think they said that the compounding interest is one of the, you know, the eighth wonder of the world or something like that. But there's so much to that. And even if it's not $100,000, even if you can only invest, you know, 50 or 25.
Anything.
Anything. But you can reinvest that. And that's the point, is keep compounding that, keep reinvesting that and adding to it. Obviously, if you can add more to it year after year, you'll get to that number and you'll get to a much greater number faster.
Yeah.
Which can allow you to retire. But yeah, I mean, stay in the W-2 as long as you can, unless you want to go, you know, full-time, obviously.
Yes. And there are advantages to full-time. There's clearly advantages. It's a really good situation if you're married and one spouse can and one spouse stays earning. That is, in theory, the most powerful way of growing wealth, because you save taxes on the family income.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, there's so much to be said about risk assessment. And I think most people are totally unaware. I mean, people don't even know the questions to ask. And that's the hard thing, because if you get on a webinar, even if it's with someone that you know, like, and trust, you know, most of them are going to be pitching and they're going to be trying to sell. And they're not necessarily going to be answering the tough questions. And even if they are, they might sugarcoat them. But most investors, I'd say, retail investors out there that, you know, people like me and you, don't even know any better of how to ask the question or what questions to ask. I mean, that's the hardest part, I think, about this, is that not that these deals aren't necessarily accessible to everyone, which that may or may not be true. There's definitely accessibility issues, but even when you have the accessibility, you don't even know what you're looking at.
Yeah. And that's why I always suggest people sign up for every webinar of people you're interested for. You don't have to even attend the webinar. Just watch the replays in the morning while you're having coffee. I was at the beginning when I started out, I was listening to 2 deals a day. Just, I was like, oh, that's a really good question. I never looked at it that way. And when you're not having to put your investment in, it's a very safe place to work. And then when you are ready to put your money in, you're so much more prepared.
Yeah. And I think the first thing everyone needs to do is sit down and write down your goals. I mean, you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the cash flow? You're looking for, you know, the capital? You're looking for, you know, a few years from now? Whatever it is, you know, like you said, you've gone through several deals already full cycle. But that's, I think, a little bit atypical. I mean, we were in a crazy environment over the past 5 years, and well, the past, you know, before last year. But so there were a lot of deals that were supposed to be 5-year olds and ended up being 18 month old just because they, you know, they reached kind of this artificial, I guess, inflation, you know, appreciation. Now, that being said, some people are more comfortable with, you know, keeping their capital kind of tied up for 5 years or 10 years. Some people are looking for a shorter deal. So the first thing you need to do is figure out what your goals are, you know, what makes sense for you. And there's going to be different things for everyone. Now, yeah, I know you've had some deals that went a little bit sour. Obviously, most deals in the past several years have gone great, right? Like you said, but you mentioned a person that you know that's going through a foreclosure right now. And unfortunately, that's happening to a lot of people, for better or for worse. I mean, I think for better, because it's weeding out people that really shouldn't have been doing things that they did. Now, what do you think some of the factors that went into that, you know, is causing these kind of problems?
I think the biggest factor is that never in the history that I know of, at least my history, and I said I'm 65 years old, have I ever seen this craziness where interest rates did the hockey stick like that. I mean, an absolute hockey stick. You know, Ms. Warren Buffett says, you never know who's swimming naked till the tide goes out. And the tide went out, and there were several people who didn't have their shirts on, and they got caught. And again, everybody was encouraged to get these 80% leverage deals, loan to cost, not even loan to value, at a very low interest rate with debt that expires. I mean, there were a lot of things that went wrong with it. And so again, I've got a couple of deals. One has gone into foreclosure and we have lost all of our money. And the main culprit was there was really two culprits on this one. Was they did not raise enough money and they didn't have comfortable reserves. So reserves are a lot more important to me. They did not have fixed debt. So fixed debt now is much more important to me than it ever was. Now I've got some deals that didn't have fixed debt. They suspended distributions, but they're solid, right? And I think they'll come around and we'll be good. Mm-hmm. And this will create a buying opportunity for some new people to come in with proper leverage debt to make the deals work better. And then when rents are going up 20% a year, anybody can look good, right? Anybody can look good. And then when they weren't, they didn't look good. And even in some markets that are super hot, like Austin, where I live, that's what happened. The market, it went cold. I mean, rents actually dropped 5%. And there was a bit more demand than there was supply, even though it's crazy because Austin's such a growing market. And, you know, so it was a combination of the debt interest, and I'll be honest, that and not very skilled asset management team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to be fooled by people who look good on social media and unfortunately don't have the skill of managing the property or the experience.
And it's so true. And again, it's unfortunate, right? I certainly did not ever want to lose money, and no one does.
Yeah. And no one does. You're absolutely right. I mean, and being some in that position, obviously you having a lot of experience on the LP side, the limited partner side, now being a GP and running your own deals, I think you have a lot more. I mean, your slogan is invest with confidence. I see on the back here, backside of your image there, you have the confidence because you have that experience. I think that a lot of people, it's only been, you know, a few years since you've been doing this.
But even my first active deal, my very first deal, I joined a team. And we couldn't get a deal done. And we lost $350,000 at risk money. And I remember I met one of the partners of Massive Capital first. He was actually going to back me on another deal. His first question he asked me is, do you ever lose money? Mm-hmm. And I went, well, in fact, I just lost $75,000 of the $350,000. And he went, good. And I said, why is that good? He says, because I want to do business with people that know how bad it hurts to lose money so that they don't try, that they work hard not to lose my money. And I thought, wow, that's a great answer. I never thought losing money would be, you know, somehow come back, but I know what it's like and I don't want to do it to somebody.
Yeah. And even though, I mean, listen, even though you take risks, I mean, it's real estate and it's risky. As great as an investment it is, and as, you know, on the totem pole of risk, there are a lot of deals in real estate that can be very, you know, low on the risk scale, but at the same time, you have to know what you're getting into.
Yeah, but let's go back so it's not all negative. My best deal, they tripled my money in 20 months. Now that was very much, but that was a combination of timing and an awesome operator. They bought at the right price. They had everything right. They implemented their value add plan quickly. And they hadn't even finished their value add plan, but it was so successful that someone else saw that and made an unsolicited offer on the property. And that was even after a retrade, because interest rates went up. We would have made 3.5 times. And luckily, again, a smart operator went, you know, I'd rather have a hamburger today than two tomorrow, said, yes, we'll accept your retrade. And we all, you know, there's nothing, that's definitely a grand slam, right? Triple your money in 20 months. And that investor group, actually, what spurred me to do it, I went to a webinar where they talked about a deal that didn't go well. And I thought, what a fresh approach, a deal that didn't, and that they talked about what they learned and how they changed their business model. They'd done different things. And that money came in my bank account at 10 a.m. and at 1 p.m. it was back in their bank account on another deal. I didn't even have to think about it, right? I'd already been watching the deal, waiting for my money to come. And because again, huge trust factor there.
Absolutely. That's awesome. There's amazing things that we learn through experience like that. And having operators that you can trust and know the deals are going to, they're going to be good for it. But like you said, people who've experienced losing money and experienced, because everyone in every investment, everything, everyone has ups and downs, right? Yeah. There's no such thing as everyone only wins. Nobody, even, you know, Michael Jordan, right? He lost a lot of games, right? But when it came time, he was the best at what he did, and he was able to perform in those clutch situations. And so too, you know, someone who is an investor, you know, just using that analogy, knows, yeah, we're gonna get whatever we can. I've got a lot of sports analogies today, but we're gonna make the baskets when they count.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant said, "You miss every shot you don't take."
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Trevor, I want to transition now to what we call the final four. These are four questions I like to ask all my guests. The first one for you is, what's the worst job that you ever had?
So it's an interesting answer. It went from the best job I ever had to the worst. So working with iFly, I loved it. And I mentioned we got bought out by a private equity company, and watching them destroy what was considered my dream. And they ended up actually 4 years later giving it back to the bank. So it went from my best to my worst. I just saw them destroy my dream and was very frustrated.
Wow. How'd that happen? I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the, you know, into the woods there, but.
Well, it's people that think they're super smart in a space that they've never played in before, they've never been involved in before. I call it, they got us fat and lazy. You know, we went from a team of 18 to 104 in 3 years.
What?
Talk about killing your overhead. I mean, just insane stuff. Insane. We went from a 56% EBITDA, which is the same as NOI, to a 26%. It was insane.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Broke my heart.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. Second question. I know you mentioned one already, but what's a book you've read that's giving you a paradigm shift?
Yeah, definitely 10X by Grant Cardone.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Big paradigm shift. And then you have to listen to it in Audible. And then I always say you have to follow it up with Be Obsessed or Be Average, because it kind of explains it. But it's definitely, it was the thing that changed my life the most.
Wow. How so?
You know, I've always been kind of a go-getter, but still living in that fear and all of those things. And it just said, let yourself loose, right? You know, he always said in the book, the only thing he ever did wrong was set his goals too small. Mm-hmm. And even after 10X, he's like, 10X might be too small. I should have, you know, 100X. And so just that, you know, we always think, oh, I could do twice as good. Well, no, 10 times as good.
Right. Yeah. If you shoot for the stars, you'll hit the moon or something like that. Right. Because, and I actually really enjoyed that book when I read it the first time. And it did give me a little bit of a paradigm shift, because I was a person that always achieved more when I had people pushing me to goals that were beyond my capacity, but never really realized that and never kind of saw that. But when you put it like that, and the way he puts it in sales and in terms of a business, I never thought about that. And that really gave me a new kind of perspective on business and sales. So definitely been mentioned before, and we'll definitely put that in the show notes. Anyone wants to check that out. Third question is, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
You know, crazily enough, Excel and I do not get along. I am not that analytical, nerdy type guy, and I really struggle with it. I really struggle with that. And it's sometimes embarrassing that I can read it and I can play with it if somebody else makes it, but I can normally break it quicker than I can learn from it.
I can relate. I can relate to that. And I'm sure there are other people out there that can relate to that as well. So yeah, Excel. Okay. Well, I wish you luck with that. It's an important thing to understand when, you know, when looking at investing. For the final question, what does success mean to you?
Yeah, so success, I've set a goal to help 1,000 people reach financial independence through real estate investing. And that does not mean that 1,000 people invested with me. It means that I said something on this podcast that gave someone that paradigm shift. And then they had the courage to go do what I did not have the courage to do earlier in my life, which was passively invest or even actively invest in real estate. That's my whole thing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Love that. I love you set such a, you know, a lofty goal. And I hope you reach that, surpass it, and set a new goal very soon, because there's a lot of people out there that need the help and need the inspiration. So hopefully they'll get it. Hopefully from here. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I certainly did. Trevor, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they want?
So the best place is LinkedIn. And you got to remember the K, Trevor Thompson. And about 2/3 of what I've learned on LinkedIn, I've learned from the great Yonah Weiss. So I've been in your challenges, and it's definitely stepped up my game. But that's the best place to reach me.
Awesome. Love that. And thank you again for joining me on the show. It's really been a pleasure. I'm glad we finally, got it to happen. And to our listeners, thank you guys for listening all the way to the end. Once again, remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yonah Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.